May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we celebrate the reign of Christ, and we have this beautiful reading from Revelation. In fact, for those who follow the Anglican Daily Lectionary, the readings for the past few weeks have been leading up to today. Readings about the end of time and the coming of the Lord and the revelation of God's love, the revelation that God's love, God's glory, God's great grace wins in the end. For the people of the time, the people who first read this book of Revelation, the images in that book were earth-shakingly radical. The Roman Empire ruled by the sword. Power and cruelty kept the people in line. And the ruling classes of every tribe and nation and language were manipulated by turning their self-interest against them through bribery and corruption and threats and blackmail. Anyone here seen Game of Thrones? It's like that, only real. Power was the name of the game. You got power and you held it, and you put down others who were ambitious for it, and you kept the people quiet so that you could maintain it, or else. Set against the realities of that world, the images of God's triumph in Scripture are so radical, they're almost comical. That the power, that above the powers of Rome, the powers of this world, God's grace and love will win out. That a young sheep, a lamb, a baby sheep would sit upon the throne. That the one who was crucified in disgrace would be revealed as king. And that the oppressed and those who had lived righteous, loving, gracious, generous lives all along, the meek, the lowly, the impotent, the downcast, everyone who would never achieve power in that society, it turns out that they will be the victors. It was radical in the extreme. Oddly enough, all these centuries later, it's still pretty radical. It turns out that we still live in a world of tyrants, where power speaks loudest and self-interest still, to some measure, rules the world. And sometimes it rules even in the church. Still today, love and peace and generosity and grace and righteousness and meekness can feel like weak responses to power, like people standing there with their hands held out, trying to stop the oncoming wave. And so aren't our hearts conflicted about how to act in this world, how to stand up against power? And no doubt, in their day, they were conflicted too. And that's what makes these images so radical, even still. That here we have this image of the great battle at the end of times, well, not in today's reading, but in Revelation, this great battle at the end of times, and that actually, it has been fought in tiny, tiny ways, little actions and small choices, the kind that our hearts make all the time, hundreds of times a day, love or power. Compassion or self-interest? I have a really hard time with that when I'm stuck in traffic. What is right or what is easy? Hundreds of times a day, these little itty-bitty battles. And yet, in the end, the triumph. God's love, God's glory, God's great grace, which perhaps looked mighty uncertain compared to the powers of this world. Love wins in the end. I feel like I have been living this story for the past 6 months since my father died. It has been a pretty profoundly spiritual time. A light has been shining brightly in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. But I warn you, this is not a nice story. My father spent the last year of his life trying to estrange me from every member of my family and our family friends. For my own well-being, I had separated myself from him, and true to his character, he sought revenge. My father died by suicide, and the night that he took his own life, he was writing letters to various family members and friends so that they would hold me responsible for his death. But in the midst of all that darkness, an oddly beautiful thing has happened. In their hearts, people made small choices, small decisions that made all the difference in the world. Most of my family members and family friends saw his sickness for what it was and refused to assign the blame to me. We've found the bravery to, I don't know how this happens in the face of all this trash that's being thrown around, but somehow we've found the bravery to be vulnerable with one another in new ways. People that I have known all my life, all of a sudden, I know them better. We've shared deeply about things that we were always too polite to talk about before. And I don't know how this happened, but we've kind of all decided to trust each other just a little more. And as a result, we have this different kind of loyalty with one another, not based on fear and obedience and concealing a big family secret like it was before, but a good kind of loyalty, like a whole redefinition of that word in my family, where we might actually be more likely to stand up for one another if the time were to come again. It's like I've discovered my family in a whole new way, and all of a sudden, my family includes quite a few new people. To people who haven't lived through something like this, that may all seem actually like how a normal family functions, how a healthy family functions. But for our family, it could have turned out so very, very differently. My father could be terrifying and was a skilled manipulator. The easiest choice in the world would have been for everyone to simply keep their heads down and to back away and to do what he wanted even after he died. But they haven't. It feels so unlikely and so illogical that it can only be the power of God, the power of God's love and God's grace working in our hearts, helping us to fight our tiny battles that are actually huge and important. In our family, God is triumphing. And in the midst of it all, God is triumphing in protecting my heart from the shrapnel of my father's rage also. God is still fighting that battle by my side. It's thanks to God that he directed my steps here to a community that I love to serve, to work that fills me with joy and hope. It's thanks be to God that even on days when I'm sad inside, I need you to know my joy with you is real. My smiles and my laughter, they're not pretend. That is the joy that I feel in being together with you. Sometimes when I look back over all that has happened, I am overwhelmed by how much God has done in my life that has brought me to this victory, to be here with you, to hold down a job, to find joy, to have wonderful, rich, healthy relationships. All of it is by God's grace, shining brightly in what has at times been a very dark journey. Yea, though I have walked through the valley of the shadow of death, thou hast been with me. And all along, it's been the vision of hope that we see today on our feast of Christ the King that has given me the strength along this journey, that no matter how hopeless things may appear when tyrants rule and we feel powerless to stop them, even still, Christ is King, and that's more than just flippant words. And these are just the glimpses of the glory yet to come, shining like candles in the dark, like yeast, like salt, small things that in fact can change the world, small points of grace that keep us going and remind us whose we are and remind us what side we're on, that we're on the side of love. And they keep whispering in our ears, believe it. It's true. Love will win in the end, as it was and as it is and as it evermore will be. Amen.